for the Word of God.
Amen.
Pray this morning you would speak to each and every one of us.
Amen.
We really need you.
Amen.
Thank you for your living Word.
Amen.
Lord, we pray as you speak to us, you would encourage us on.
Amen.
That we would have the grace. We would have the joy to go on more this week.
Amen.
Lord, we give this time of fellowship to you.
Amen.
Pray you would flow from all the saints.
Amen.
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 Well, this week we are reviewing the recent Genesis training, which is the crystallization study of the book of Genesis. And I think some of us know and realize that we have actually had a year to go through this book in this way, starting last summer, and then in the winter time, and now this last training to conclude the book of Genesis. And I just want to open with a kind of this little feeling I had. You know, the Old Testament is a book full of pictures. And we have this idiom, a picture is worth a thousand words. And on the one hand, these things really happened to these people. And especially I'm going to just cover some things that happened to Jacob and to Joseph this morning. And when you consider their lives, they went through a lot of things. And I don't know if you ever had this thought, but I've had this kind of question. Have you ever asked this question, why am I going through this right now? Have you ever asked that? Or maybe you, sometimes I ask this way, I really don't need this. Especially now I don't need this. Sometimes it's a prayer to the Lord, Lord, I really don't need this right now. I'm just passing through something. Have you ever experienced this? You're just going through something, and you're just coming out of it. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then something else hits. And you wonder, why am I going through this? And I feel that going through these chapters in Genesis, especially with Jacob and Joseph, helps us and helps explain what we are going through today in the New Testament age. We're not, you know, that was at that time and that really happened to them. But it actually helps me to understand why I'm passing through these things. Even if I pray to the Lord at that time, oftentimes I just get this feeling from the Lord, foolish child, I'm saying, I don't need this right now. I really don't need this right now. And I get this kind of feeling, you're so foolish. I know exactly what you need. And I know exactly what time you need it. And that, it's a comfort to me. It's a help to me. And so I hope that in going through these pictures in this book of Genesis, we can see something to help us to go on in our Christian life today. Praise the Lord. You know, we didn't read these verses in 1 Corinthians 10, but in verse 11 it says these things happen as examples to us. And verse 6 also mentions they're examples to us. And these examples are for us to learn lessons. That's one side. But there's also an example here in principle that what these people pass through, and you know in the book of Genesis, especially Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with Joseph, this is all the experience of one person, really. God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that includes Joseph in the reigning aspect of the maturity of life. These examples are not just lessons. They also are principles that we need to pass through the same things to reach God's goal. And I was impressed this time in finishing the book of Genesis. You know, Genesis 1:26 starts with God's purpose, image and dominion. And it's a tremendous, tremendous verse. And the end of the book of Genesis, chapter 50, shows us a man who is full of the expression of God and who fully represents God's authority at the end of the book of Genesis. So you can kind of say the book of Genesis encapsulates and accomplishes what God wants in Genesis 1:26, and even the whole Bible eventually accomplishes what God wants in Genesis 1:26. I think that's, all of us realize that, but you see a city there expressing God fully and carrying out His authority. So there are lessons, there are things, there are principles in here that we can learn. So I hope this morning as we go through these portions, we can see something. I just wanted to touch these three sections in Genesis. First of all, Jacob's dream, the dream of Bethel. And then in chapter 35, God tells Jacob to go back to Bethel. And that time, according to what we enjoyed in the training, at that time it's very important because in the beginning it's just a dream. But in chapter 35, there is some reality there. God wants us not just to have a vision of His purpose. He not only wants us to have a vision of Bethel, the house of God, the church. He wants us to experience the reality of the house of God, of God's purpose, of the church itself. And in between these two, we have Genesis 32, which is just a little portion showing that Jacob has to pass through a lot of situations, a lot of dealings. Even in Genesis 32, he has to be touched by God in a way that changes him for the rest of his life. And in the life study of Genesis and in the training, it talks about being broken. And in the principle, we have to pass through the same things. We have to pass through these things. On the one hand, we must have a vision. Without a vision, the people run wild, right? We have to have a vision of what God is after. On the other hand, all the things we pass through in our Christian life, especially according to Romans 8:28, all things. God causes all things. Now, what are all things? They're just all things. Everything that happens to us. All things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And in these characters, in these men in the Old Testament, we can see what they passed through and how they responded. And it really helps us and encourages us to go on. Well, how do you get from the vision to the reality? You have to pass through all of these kinds of experiences. So let's come to, and this is really my burden this morning, just to spend a little time. Brother Ed will share something. I just want to see how can we get from vision to the reality. So let's just talk a little bit about the vision. You know, Jacob was fleeing from his house. He had just cheated his brother out of the birthright. And along with his mother, he deceived his father get the blessing, and he fled. He fled his house. He was, as Brother James said, I really enjoyed this, he was a homeless man. Maybe the first homeless man there. And he went, that night he was tired, and he laid down to sleep and took a stone for his pillow, and he had this dream. And what is the dream? The dream actually is not that complicated. He dreamed about a ladder. There was a ladder set up on earth. And the angels of God were ascending and descending upon this ladder. And then when he woke up, he said, "This is a terrible place. This is an awesome place. This is none other than the house of God." Now, I don't know. How did he get the house of God from seeing this ladder? I'm not sure. But he said, "This is none other than the house of God." And then the Lord Jesus in John 1:51, which we didn't read this morning, but he himself, maybe I'll read that verse to you, John 1:51, the end of the first chapter of John, the Lord was talking to Nathanael, and he answered him, and said to him, "Truly I say to you, you shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So, he gives us the interpretation in the New Testament. This ladder that Jacob saw was God Himself. It was Christ Himself. It was the Son of Man. And the Son of Man connects the heavens to the earth. Isn't that marvelous? We need such a vision. It is the Lord Jesus that brings us to God and brings God to us. He is the one. Actually, John 4:6 says, "I am the way, the reality, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the only way to God. We have to have this as a vision. This is our precious vision of Christ, that we can enjoy Him, we can experience Him. And when we touch the Lord, we get joined to heaven, and we receive the dispensing from God Himself from the heavens. What a marvelous, marvelous picture. What a dream. And we need this kind of vision. And then, what did Jacob do? He took that stone, which he was resting on, and that stone is just Christ, right? Christ is the foundation stone. He's the cornerstone. He's the top stone. And when we enjoy Christ, we find rest. Haven't you found rest in the Lord Jesus? He is our satisfaction. He is our rest. I often wondered, how can you sleep on a rock? It doesn't seem so restful. But it's a picture here. We're resting in Christ. We're enjoying our Lord Jesus Christ. And after he saw this vision, he did something quite interesting. He set up this stone as a pillar. And the New Testament tells us, pillar, this word pillar, is related to the building up of the church. And it's related to people who need to be pillars in the house of God. And he set up this stone as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. So this signifies that we, as men, we need to be transformed and rise up and get filled with the Spirit. And when we are standing as pillars in the church, filled with the Spirit, what happens? There is the heavens are joined to the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord for the church life. Amen. I don't know if you've had this experience. I've had this, I don't know how many times. You've had a long day, whether it's at work or you're traveling, and you come back, and on the way home, you make up your mind, I am not going to the meeting tonight. I'm too tired. You ever thought this? I'm not going. You get home, you have a little supper, and you just don't know what happens, but all of a sudden you find yourself in the meeting. You don't know how you got there, but you're in the meeting. And in the meeting, someone prays something, or you sing something, or someone shares something, and all of a sudden, the heavens are open to you, and you are enjoying the Lord. Amen. From being so tired and making up your mind, you're not going to the meeting, all of a sudden, you are at Bethel, Amen. Enjoying the house of God. Amen. This is the church meeting. I don't know, I have a little burden here. We need to appreciate the church meeting. Amen. We have a lot of opportunities in the church in New York City to meet together. Tuesday night and Friday night. Saturday we serve together. Saturday night there are meetings. There are home meetings. And there's the Lord's Day meeting. And every meeting should be an opportunity for us to come and to enjoy this heavenly ladder. And when we experience this, when we exercise in this way, to stand up and be filled with the Spirit, to minister Christ to one another, don't you believe, everyone who comes, they will receive the dispensing of the triune God. They will enjoy the Lord. They come to the meeting, even 1 Corinthians 14 says, and they say, God is really among you. What is this? This is the dream of Bethel. This is the vision of Bethel. This is actually the reality of Bethel. And we need to, I just have this feeling, we need to appreciate the meetings. You know, every time I come to the church meeting, I always get something. I always receive something from the Lord, and I enjoy something of the Lord. Why? Because this is the place where the heavenly ladder is set up. Amen. This is Bethel, the house of God. Amen. Now, how do we get to the reality? In Genesis 32, after Jacob had passed through so many experiences, he is about to meet his brother, and he's afraid. He's very anxious and fearful, so afraid that he sends forth half of his family, Leah and her children, ahead to try to meet him first. I think somewhat in fear that Esau may be coming to kill him. So he figures, I'll lose the wife I don't love that much first. That's okay. And then he puts Rachel with her children next. I don't know. This guy was crazy. I know he loved Rachel, but and then he was at the back all by himself. Then he must have felt like, well, even if I lose Rachel, it's okay as long as I'm okay. And he, you know, has this kind of situation, and he finds himself alone there again. And a man comes, And I don't know why, but he gets into this wrestling match with this man. And eventually, in the middle of that wrestling, he realizes this is not just a man. This is God. This is God. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever wrestled. I know this is going to be a shock to you, but when I was in junior high, I was on the wrestling team. Come on. I wasn't very good, but I was on the wrestling team. And, you know, wrestling, you got to be in close contact. You can wrestle with me. It's okay, Jerry. I'm not afraid. You've got to be, you know, you're trying to pin them down, and, you know, you're trying to get them off their feet. It's not like, you know, boxing is, you're apart from each other. You're just trying to jab and, you know. It's not that way. It's very close contact. And he wrestled with God. And this is the thing that really struck me. He beat God. He won that wrestling match. You know, we read the verses. Maybe we should look at those verses again in Genesis 32. When the man saw, that's God, that he did not prevail against Jacob, against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. And the man said, "Let me go." He hadn't won. God did not win that wrestling match. He asked Jacob, "Let me go." And what did Jacob say? "I will not let you go until you bless me." There's really something here that's quite precious. First of all, this shows how strong our natural man is. And I don't know if I realize too much, a little bit. I don't know if I realize really how strong our natural man is. Our natural man cannot be, well, maybe I should say, God chooses not to subdue it in that way. He wants to expose it, that we would pray, "I want your blessing." Then he can touch it. He has to expose it first. And we have to be willing for him to touch it. And this was a very striking point to me in this chapter. And I was exposed to realize how strong I am in my natural man. You know, the first book I read when I came to the Lord's recovery was The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit, Watchman Nee book. And that book affected me quite deeply. And I realized, as a Christian, I needed this breaking. First of all, I had a human spirit. That was a big revelation. And then I realized, through this book and through the fellowship and the church life, that we have Christ living in our spirit. And He wants to be expressed through us. But our soul encases our spirit. And there's the need for the breaking, not of the functions of the soul, but the breaking of the soul life, this encasement around our spirit, so that this life can flow out and can be expressed. And this is the situation here. This is the picture here with Jacob. He was very strong in his natural man. Everything he tried to do was from his natural man. And he mostly got everything he wanted, but not the way that God wanted him to get it, but through his natural man. His natural man had to be exposed and eventually broken. And this is what happened in Genesis 32. That's when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And that was the beginning of his transformation, so that he could become mature. And brothers and sisters, I just feel like there's a real need in all of us, and for all of us, we all need to mature. And the way to mature is to be touched by the Lord. First of all, we need to be exposed how strong we really are in our natural man. And then willing and be open that the Lord could touch us, that we could be transformed. And I just feel like this is a very important time for us in the church life here. We all need to rise up and grow. We all need to rise up and to grow in the Lord and to mature in life so that we could express Him, not only in the meetings, but in our daily life and we could represent Him, and we could give ourselves that the Lord could accomplish His purpose through us. Amen. There was a phrase in one of the outlines or a sentence that struck me in this context of Genesis 32. If the outer man is outer part is not broken, the inner part will not be released. If this is our situation, we will have no way to go on, and the church also will have no way to go on. When I read this, I was really struck. I do not want to hinder the church from going on, and neither do I want to be stuck in a place where I cannot go on. All the things that are happening to us are for this purpose, that we could be dealt with, that we could be broken, that the Lord could release His divine life. This is not a judgment. This is not punishment. This is just the way of God's salvation to transform us and to make us precious stones for His building. And I pray that we all would be exercised to realize this and to see this. So you have Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good. In Jacob's life, the all things there are related to his environment. And that is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's work is mainly from within to shine on us, to anoint us, to fill us. But there is the outward environment that the Lord uses to press us from all sides, to constrain us, to get our attention sometimes. There is this aspect of the Spirit's work in the environment, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jacob was experiencing. And even after all the things he passed through, at the end of his life, he praised the Lord that God had shepherded him all the way. Eventually, he realized all those things he passed through were the Lord's shepherding. And I hope we could see that as well. The Lord is shepherding us through all the things we're passing through. So, I'd just like to end with these two verses. How are we being transformed? How is our spirit and our soul being separated? How is the soul life being dealt with? Well, one is in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and operative, right? And sharper than any two-edged sword. And dividing even from joints, how's it go? Dividing even the joints and marrow. Could we have Hebrews 4:12? Yeah. Let's read it together. For the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword. This verse shows us that between the soul and the spirit, it's not easy to divide, not easy to separate. It's like the joints and the marrow. I don't know if anybody here likes to eat bone marrow. I've heard that there was a sister among us. She's gone to be with the Lord. She would love the bone marrow. And after the kids would finish the chicken, she would take the bones on her plate and crack them open and get the marrow out. That does not sound appetizing to me, but anyway, some people may like that. The point is, how do you get to the marrow? You have to break. You have to break something. And it's similar, this is just an example here, it's similar to us. How can our spirit be released? We have to allow the Lord to break the outer man, the outer shell. Especially our soul life needs to be on the cross. Our soul life needs to be denied and needs to be dealt with and crucified so that Christ can live. No longer I, but Christ lives in me. So on the one hand, we need the Word. Every day we need the Word. We need to be reading the Word, studying the Word, enjoying the Word, and getting into the Word every day. On the other hand, we need to realize in our environment, there are the all things. There are the all things. Don't despise the all things, but take them as from the Lord to gain Him and to go on with Him and to allow Him to work in us and operate in us, that we could express Him in our daily life and that we could overflow Him in all of the church meetings. And this is the way to come and to have the reality of the house of God, Bethel. Eventually, in that chapter 35, Jacob called God El Bethel, the God of the house of God. This is the corporate aspect of God's expression, which is what He is after. So I hope that this could help the saints enjoy these portions and help us to go on day by day. Amen.
Don't worry, I will just share a few minutes so you can relax. I was touched that Jacob actually was called by God Himself. In the verses in Romans chapter 9, verses 10 to 13 and 16, we see verse 10, and not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one Isaac our father, though the children had not yet been born, nor had done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to selection might remain not of works, but of Him who calls, it was said to her, the greater shall serve the less. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This is also our case. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that we have been chosen before the world was created. So, verse 16 explains, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Of God who shows mercy. I believe that our brother covered pretty much what Jacob went through in the very beginning. But I was impressed that in chapter 35, in verse 1, that God told Jacob to go up to Bethel. And then in verse 6, Jacob came to Bethel. And especially verse 7, he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed Himself to him when he fled from his brother. Very interesting. He calls God the God of the house of God. We see here there's an interesting relationship between God and the house of God, between God and the church. What is that relationship? Well, what is our relationship with the Lord? If we're upset with the Lord, or we're having a little discussion, or a little disagreement, the church would not be pleasant to you either. There is a definite relationship. But the point is that after Jacob came to Bethel, the Lord said to him, In verse 10, and God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So we see here how, because Jacob respected God and he actually went back to Bethel, there was blessing for him. The same with us. If we seek the Lord, he will bless us. Now, concerning what Jacob went through, we see a little explanation in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 6, says a very good explanation. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? And the verses further on tell us that if we are not disciplined, we are not sons. So here we see this fact. But then, verse 11 explains even further. Now, no discipline at the present time seems to be a matter of joy, but of grief. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised by it. And of course, this also refers to what Brother Dennis quoted, Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We have been called according to his purpose before we were born. And surely we all love God. Therefore, all things work together. For what? Verse 29 explains, because those whom he foreknew, which is us, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So whatever happens to us is in order that we might be conformed to the image of his son. Then just a couple points concerning Joseph. It is amazing that in the record of the Bible, Joseph has nothing negative at all. This is really outstanding. And in Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, it says, Jehovah was with Joseph. Ah, here is a secret. God was with Joseph. Surely for God to be with Joseph, Joseph had to be the right kind of person. And he became a prosperous man. Joseph became a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 21 tells us, even when he was in the dungeon, when he was in prison, it says Jehovah was with Joseph, and he, the jailer, extended kindness to him. No, I'm sorry. And God extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. So here we have a very important point. Whenever we're going to do anything, whenever we have to make a decision, we have to consider, is God's presence in this, or is it not? Surely when we argue, surely when we push forward our opinions, must be in ourselves, not in God. But then we find one last point in Joseph that deeply touched me. And this is Joseph's realization that God was sovereign. If you recall, Joseph's brothers were so upset with him because he told them two dreams. Right? In the first dreams, all the family were sheaves, and every sheaf bent over to him. And then in his second dream, all the family were elements of light, but still, they bent over to him. So his brothers wanted to kill him. Fortunately, some traders went by, so they sold him to be brought as a slave to Egypt. But now, let's see, what does Joseph say in chapter 45 of Genesis? In verse 5, Joseph said, he was trying to calm his brothers. What happened is, he didn't reveal himself to the brothers at the beginning, but when he did, the brothers were really upset because they had been so bad to him. But in verse 5, and now do not grieve or angry. Do not be grieved or angry with yourself. That's what Joseph told his brothers. Because you sold me here, they shouldn't be angry with themselves. For God sent me before you to preserve life. When I read this, I was speechless. I could not imagine how Joseph could say this. They tried to kill him. They sold him as a slave. And yet, Joseph saw God in it. Really, really amazing. Joseph must have had a lot of grace from God to be able to do this. I don't know that I will be able to do this without a struggle. Can you imagine? But even at the very end of Genesis, when Jacob died, then the brothers were scared. Oh, now he's going to deal with us. So in chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph tells them, even though you intended evil against me, God intended it for good, to do as it is this day, to preserve alive and numerous people. Verse 21, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will sustain you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Amazing. Unbelievable. The Bible tells us very clearly that we should not look at ourselves, especially in Song of Songs, right? The lover looked at herself, and that became a wall between her and the Lord. But now I would encourage you all to look at yourself, and it would be okay. In what sense? Is there anyone in this planet that you have not forgiven? You need to see God is sovereign. Brothers and sisters, we are in the Lord's hands. Surely the Lord does the best for us. If there are adverse circumstances, negative things that happen to us, even done by somebody, we need to take Joseph's view. God is sovereign. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I hope all of us could realize this must be our outlook concerning anyone who has offended us, who has done us harm. For our own good, we need to realize God is sovereign. God allowed it, whatever it was, and therefore He is sovereign and worked out all things for us. Praise the Lord.
I just speak on this term, God is the God of Bethel. Okay, now if you can flash back the verses. Now I want you to see, okay, 11 and 12, what is missing is 13 to 15. And actually verse 16, if you see that verse 16, then Jacob awoke. Okay, now first he had a dream in verse 11 and 12, and then in verse 16 he woke up. But what I want to tell you is that the verses that are missing here is what God spoke to him. And what God spoke to him woke him up. And what God spoke to him gave him the vision to see that this place is Bethel. Now, if you look at those verses, if you can put back on, if you can put those verses 16 through 19, Genesis 28, 16 through 19, okay? And Jacob awoke from the sleep and said, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Okay, this is the first time Bethel appeared. Jacob did not, because he saw saw the ladder going up and down, and the angel of God's going up and down. Then he said, "Oh, this place is Bethel." No, he didn't. In fact, he was doing the dream. And what woke him up? What woke him up was what God said. Okay. Actually, if you look at verses 13 through 16, those are God speaking to him. And God told him, I am the God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac, and you will have many descendants. And it is that speaking translates what he saw, this ladder going up and down, translated into the house of God. So therefore, what he saw Bethel was not his own imagination. Bethel was not his wishful thinking, but Bethel was a revelation from God. Therefore, in chapter 35, as you can see, Genesis 35, God told Jacob, say, arise and go back to Bethel. And you see, dear brothers and sisters, the house of God, what God is doing, is not our imagination. It is not our, if it is our imagination, it is only a wishful thinking. but because it is the promise of God, therefore it is a reality. And I think this is what we need to see. Dear brothers and sisters, don't remain in the dream. What will awake us is God speaking. I mean, you go back and read that, and I was particularly impressed when Dennis was speaking on 11 and 12 and going to 16. I said, no, wait a minute. What caused him to awake, right? Because verse 22, 16, and Jacob awoke. What awoke him? What awoke him is God speaking, okay? So I hope that, it was very interesting. Let me say one more thing about what Brother Ed mentioned about Hebrews chapter 12. This is part of the training, right? This is the training. And don't think the training is over. Actually, the training just begins. I mentioned to some saints, actually this word training in the New Testament is the word discipline. Discipline. Okay. And if you want to get into this burden, we need to be disciplined by God's sovereign arrangement. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And I think that is really quite meaningful. You know, this word discipline, meaning that originally the word training means to hit a boy to correct him. Okay, and that word is discipline. But of course, today we don't have corporate punishment, but still we need to be channeled, corrected into the proper. And what Jacob's experience is part of that training. Okay, so I hope firstly that don't just remain in the dream. Wake up by the Lord speaking. You go back and read Genesis 28. 13 to 15. It's quite meaningful. And it was that gave Jacob the vision to call, this is an awesome place. This is no other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Right? And in fact, the part of the discipline is always bringing us upward. It's always bringing us upward. And that is because not just for our personal gain, but it is for the building up of God's house. Right? So I think it was really meaningful to say God is the God of Bethel, because Bethel starts with him. Bethel did not start with Jacob. Jacob, if he remained in the dream without God speaking, Bethel, he will never see Bethel, and he will never be changed from Jacob into Israel. So the other day, somebody told me that because of this training, it was very interesting. The other day, a brother came to visit me. He said, now I'm going to call my name Jacob. I actually thought to myself, he should call himself Israel. That's really God's purpose. Okay, so may we all receive God speaking. You know, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and operative, sharper than any two-edged sword. May we all just enjoy the word this week and really awake from the dream and receive the revelation to see what really Bethel is, and to see God is the God of Bethel.